All right, let's go ahead and jump back into it. Last time on Dungeons & Dragons, you all finished up packing your bags for a all-expenses-paid vacation on a celebrity cruise brought to you by the White Star Line aboard the ship known as the Serenity, leaving in Baldur's Gate in 1 10-day. So you packed up and you left Candlekeep with your mini apparatus Cooper and your wagons in tow. You also brought your children along, because this is a very family-friendly vacation. No, it's not an adventure. You, the PC, the players, you are on an adventure, but the characters are on a vacation. But the vacation got off to a rocky start. As soon as you left Candlekeep, you were, not immediately. There was 3 days on the road, but you were assaulted on the road shortly after you left Candlekeep by a squadron of demonic, devilish hitmen known as Orthons, which you had previously dealt with before. Except these Orthons, while they were attacking you, kept asking you what your purpose was and how you were feeling, and you all have kept having to make saving throws against mental intrusions or a detect thoughts spell. And it was this point, Titanius, because the Orthons the DM made a mistake, and I forgot that the Orthons have that special ability to bonus action turn invisible for the first couple rounds of combat. So when I did remember that and turn them invisible, Titanius remembered that I had given him a hat of sea invisibility. So really, it all comes back to me. Titanius put on the hat of sea invisibility, and he was able to see the invisible Orthons. However, there was much more invisible creatures on the battlefield than previously anticipated. There are hundreds of tiny little devilish imps with helms of telepathy on that just were like sitting in trees and sitting in bushes, and every 6 seconds would just send out a mental probe to each of you just to kind of figure out what's going on. Luckily, you are all pretty wise enough that they didn't get too much information out of you, and you were able to kill all of the Orthons, at which point the imps that were still alive that survived the blasting of the battlefield gave you a wide enough berth that they could follow you, but you could not really interact with them at all. Moreover, just kind of observe and report distance. Also, you all gathered a fair amount of those previously mentioned helms of telepathy, as I had mentioned that all of the imps had them, and there were hundreds of them on the battlefield, and a lot of them died during the blast. So you have some fodder for your magical meltdown machine back at Candlekeep that allows you to kind of transmogrify or convert your magical items from one set of state of being to another, as long as it's generally greater than or equal to, whatever is outputted is less than or equal to the amount of magic items that you put in. So, gathering all your magic items, throwing them in your magical sack, and continuing on your way to Baldur's Gate, because you all have a ship to catch, a cruise to meet. You all headed through the city relatively unmolested. You were able to provide your cruise tickets to the guards at the gate, and they were able to let you through. You headed down into the dock district of Baldur's Gate, where you found the Serenity, a high-end luxury cruise liner, has docked itself in the Baldur's Gate Bay. You all went up to the line to check in all of your belongings, and it was at this point you recognized a couple standing in front of you. Not just a couple, a couple with children running around, and you all quickly realized them to be the Castellanter family. And they turned around recognizing you both. And that's actually where we are gonna pick back up. You are standing face to face with Victoro and Amalia Castellanter, while their children, Elzarina and Terenzio, are kind of running around playing almost on like a, you know, like kids build forts and stuff like that. Their parents have a small fortress of baggage that they have packed on a comically small dolly. But the kids are just kind of running around and playing and for. And as soon as the kids see you, their eyes like brighten up. They're like, "Oh my God, parents! You didn't say that." God, what you got? And they see your kids and they're like, "Nat, Squidly, Jinx!" And they all start like just like playing with each other. And they kind of like, you know, the kids are being kids. They start ignoring the adults and start playing with the kids. While Amali and Victoro, in full yellow royals gowns, like yellow and white, very very dressed to the tens, look over at you and say, "I guess they're just letting anybody on these cruises these days, aren't they, honey?" Yes. Oh, I guess they must be giving out some of those, welfare tickets. That's must how you get on there. Well, and they're just kind of jiding and sneering generally at you all. Do you react in any way?
Sincerity will lean into it and say, "Yep, that's us, the welfare ticket. I also had to go to school on a scholarship."
Yes, probably because you couldn't afford your own way, probably because of your situation and beginnings in life, right? Oh, good one, honey. That was a jab. Oh, you showed him. And yes, you've probably had no assistance from other family members in your life at all, right?
No, just hardship and trauma from my father.
Oh, the trials and tribulations of the poor. Well,
I actually made some money on the side as a student by shining my peers' shoes.
I'm sorry, and, excuse me? You did?
And you're really putting me back in that place. And may I? And Sincerity is going to go to shine his shoes, and he'll do it. But he wants to kind of stealthily tie his shoelaces again.
Okay, you look down, alabaster white crocodile boots, no skin, no shoelaces whatsoever. And as soon as you like start to go for Victoro's boots, he takes a step back and he's like, oh no, you do keep your grubby little hands away from these. These were strangled from the finest albino crocodile found in the Waterdeep sewers. These are a genuine Gusachis. You shall not be touching. And then, I'm so sorry. You said you used to shine shoes? Does that mean you imbued them with the essence of the sun? What is that?
No, it's just manual labor.
Of course, that's why I wouldn't know. Okay, humor, my good fellow. What does this labor pertain to, or what does it entail? Yes, please, just humor us. What does this shoe shining? What is it?
Can Sincerity make like a performance check on some other people nearby in the line?
Sure. To what purpose? What are you trying to evoke?
He's going to try to get the crowd against the Castle Lanters. And
does Victoro not like recognize us?
He does. He's that's why they're like snubbing us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got my ticket because my family died. My whole family. My whole family died, and all I got was this
ship ticket. Oh, how humorous. They're not even wealthy enough to afford resurrection spells. Death is for the poor. Oh, whoa. Oh, that's just...
I'm literally riding on a steed made of garbage.
What?
It's made of, like, garbage and recycled, okay, that.
McGee, just real quick, give a real quick description of your whole ensemble again.
Yeah, so basically, like, you know, I have two shields, like, on either side, like, basically, like, almost like a ball. Basically, picture Dr. Robotnik, just that. I'm like Dr. Robotnik riding some kind of robot, right? And currently, it looks like kind of just a two-legged, medium-sized kind of like Dr. Robotnik walking device, right? Oh, and it's made of trash.
Oh, dear heavens, where did you find this filthy creature?
I have a top hat with a patch on it.
Found
like
us.
A little,
Okay. All right. So, Sincerity, you wanted to make a performance check to try to get the crowd on your side. Make a quick perception check. Just kind of before you start performing, you know, a good performer, you know, scopes out the crowd.
Yeah, engages his audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with the aristocracy.
Can I assist?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a 25.
You would need to describe how does Thatch help in looking judging the crowd.
By saying, I am riding this beast made of trash. You know, like, look at him, he's with his shoes from the sewer. And okay, I point at his sewer shoes. Mine are from the sewers, too.
Okay, I'll say you're trying to, gain the crowd's attention, which would make it easier for Sincerity to perceive them. So go ahead and roll with advantage, Sincerity.
Still 22.
Yeah, still 22. I mean, 21 is pretty good either way. You look around. It's probably about this time that you realize Baldur's Gate is a relatively mixed use city. However, there is a heavy industrial portion of it where it does smell really bad. It's around about this time that you realize that you are in an area that does not smell bad. And looking around, the people in the crowd, the people in the line, essentially, you're waiting to check in to the cruise. So you're standing in a line, which rich people don't really do. So it's not a very long line. You see that most of the people around you are coachmen, are valets, are, you know, just general working class people that are obviously employed to look after their rich clientele's stuff. Now, scoping out the crowd, you're able to basically recognize that 70% of the nearby population is probably working class, whereas, you know, 30% is probably the upper echelon, and maybe it's even closer to 80-20. Most people in the line you see are very well-dressed. They are clean. They smell nice. They reek of money. So, with that 22 perception, you gather that even though this is primarily a working class area, or at least the people nearby, the population is working class, they probably wouldn't get on your side if you went against their employers. They're probably the type of working class that's close enough to money that they get closer to fairly compensated than your random slum.
Gotcha.
But the Castellan is like, okay, I'm so sorry. You said something so poor. I just didn't understand what you were saying. Whenever our shoes lose their shine.
I was actually having such a poor thought that I spaced out there for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, we oh, a poor thought. Aren't all his thoughts poor, dear? Oh, that's so good, Amalia. What a good jest and jape. Oh, well.
So is selling your kids' souls like an upper class thing, or is that just what you trashed?
There you see a little bit of like they've been like laughing and like joking. There's a moment where they just like the air is just like just drops just around them, and it just like it. Victoria's like, Amalia,
I would do anything for our kids who we adopted and aren't even related to us by blood, and it seems like you would do anything to take advantage of your.
Yes.
Love, or is it, do you just like lust for money and power?
Y'all need Jesus.
Love is for those who don't have money. We do love.
That said, like somebody who doesn't have any love, and really you're poorer for it. Some things can't be measured in tallies.
It can be measured in weight, and from our perspective, souls don't weigh or cost a thing. And the way we look at it, and the kids are just running around, we made some gamble vestments that paid out nicely, and you know, it's we didn't have to face the consequences, so why would we learn a lesson? Money is great. And everything, quite frankly, everything that you just said, all I heard was, I'm poor, 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 poor. I don't have money. I used to do manual labor. That's all I heard from you, quite frankly.
Whatever you want to tell yourself to sleep soundly at night, I know that's very important that you get your beauty sleep.
Yeah, I'm very good with my hand.
Please, please keep your hands to yourself. And do you know how we sleep at night? On a pile of money.
Not very well. It looks like you look tired.
Yes, because we sleep on a pile of money. It's not comfortable at all. There's
bags of money under your eyes.
That must that I was talking about where you can't feel love, and that's why you need to sleep on a pile of money even though it makes you sleep terribly and you look tired?
I'm not following. We sleep on more money than you will ever see in your entire life.
Is it like a pile of money? Yeah, like really hard? Is your pile of money sleeping on the ground?
Yes.
Is the
pile of it's money like coins.
No, we're not going to tell you where our sleeping piles are, but yes, they are. Some of it is in bags, some of it is in just scattered coins, and yes, it does create a very hard, flat, at best flat, but most of the times lumpy, sleeping surface. But again, you're too poor to understand why sleeping like that is a luxury.
I'm sad for you.
I
heard a thing that if you sleep on money, a coin will go in your mouth and lay a little coin egg.
Who told you about...
Is that how you get generational wealth?
Who told you about the generational wealth spiders? They are... That's not supposed to be... And they look very concerned. And they're like, there's the general pop... How much money do you have? They kind of sniff it. How much money do you have? How do you know about the spiders?
It was just a story my parents used to tell me before I'd go to bed to make sure that I didn't have any money.
Yes, yes, my green friend. It is just a story that your parents told you as a child. There is no such things as coins that will put themselves in your mouth and then multiply so that your family will benefit from the additional wealth. Yes, 'tis just stories. Goblin bedtime stories.
Is Lolf in that little demon trifecta? I forget, it's Glazia, Asmodeus...
In Mephistopheles. No, Lolf felt slighted that she was not included, and so she started working on her own stuff, which is why the Black Spider was in Phandalin before any agents of the Big Three.
What you would call a fourth wheel.
I was just wondering if the generational wealth spiders were from Lolf, you know?
No, the generational wealth spiders do not exist, so they don't have any divinity relation whatsoever. I promise you, they are, like this crazy goblin said, they are just stories from his youth. Anyway, and they actually, you hear a little ding,
go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, you were going to say something?
Sincerity was going to pull out the infernal dagger that he got from the Orthons most recently.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to talk to the demons yourselves to sick them on you, or do you, like, intermediary with imps? Just what's the bureaucracy like? How much actual work do you have to do into lining up people for us to kill?
I'm sorry. What do you...
The Orthon.
You're talking about when you first left Waterdeep. We sent those Orthons after you. Yes, super super easy. We just wrote a quick request to our demons. We said, "Hey, demon daddies, they got away. We need some help. Please send more assassins." And they did, and we were rewarded with the rule over Waterdeep. So, you know, win-win.
I guess they probably just failed the first time, and so they're trying again now.
You were just attacked recently.
Shortly on the way over here.
Yep. They, you know, there is a pretty big bounty on each of your souls and head. Luckily, not big enough a bounty for us to care about killing you with our bare hands. So, lucky, lucky, lucky. But demons, devils, yes, you are public enemy target, most wanted number one.
Same to you.
I'm sorry, excuse me? You are my
number.
Aw.
Still got my number
what
two.
What I can do with my hands.
they kind of look right. You guys really haven't moved past us, huh? Aw, that's really sweet. I promise you all, we have not thought about you.
Know you. I lie. You are number two or three, but you are top five for sure.
Aw. Oh, that's, you know, I'm...
You're not even in my top eight.
Okay, well, you know, even though you are all reek
they just turn around and walk to the front of the line as there was like a ding next in line. They just stop talking halfway through. It's like, even though you are all smelly, inconsiderate, honestly a pain in our ass, and quite frankly ugly and poor, and then they just turn away, and they it's like, we'll catch up later, and they go and check in. You are approached by a long, slender, frail-looking man with white hair, wrinkled skin, human, and he is wearing a little butler's outfit. And he says,
"Can you provide me with your tickets for pre-registration for the ship's intake?"
Can you show me your papers?
Yes, sir, apologies. You have not gotten on the ship, so I have not been able to acquaint myself with you. My name is Percival, and I am the butler of this ship. I shall be here to wait or bottle on any of your needs, provided that you do have a ticket.
And he shows you his... He starts reaching for his pocket.
Butler's union card is right here, and I shall provide you with my proper identification. I am Percival, as I have said. Butler number 69,420 of the butlers.
And he shows you this card. And it is... I mean, I don't think you've ever seen a butler's union. It looks legit.
I'm going to investigate.
69,420. Cheers.
25 on my investigation.
You get really close. He says,
yes, it is quite customary to get that close when inspecting a butler's. Inspecting a butler, sir.
I have my magnifying glass out.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
No, that looks official. Here are our tickets.
Okay, yes, thank you, sir. I hope my identification...
You show me yours, I show you mine.
Absolutely, sir. And at any point during the ride aboard the Serenity, if you would like to show me yours, that would be quite welcome. And if it is so permitted, as you have previously stated, I shall show you mine. Now, let me just look at your tickets.
And he just starts ruffling through your tickets. And he says,
yes, okay, this is a legitimate ticket. Okay.
And he hands it back to you. And he goes to loyalty.
Hello, my name is Percival. I am the butler of the ship. Butler number 69,420 of the Butler's Union. May I please see your identification ticket?
I just show him my ticket. I'm not going to make him show me his papers.
Oh, thank you, madam. Your congeniality is appreciated and contagious.
What was your name again?
My name is Percival. You may call me Percival. If at any point during your stay aboard the Serenity, you just say my name thrice and I shall appear. It is a part of my employment or / enslavement aboard the Serenity.
Percival.
I am already here in front of you, madame.
As he like, he poofs in place.
He says, I can do that, but is it just keep in mind, it's extremely taxing on me outside of the bounds of this ship. As long as we are on board, there is no cost associated with that summoning
before we board, it's painful, but as soon as we get on the ship, it ceases being painful.
Absolutely, sir. It is.
Sounds like a better reason to get us on the ship.
That's indeed why I am checking Miss Loyalty's boarding ticket, which, madam, it seems to be. It is legitimate. Please step over here, and we will gather your belongings shortly. You.
How quiet do you think we can say his name?
If you even whisper or even form the mouth shapes of my name thrice, while aboard the ship, I shall be summoned, regardless of where I am or what I'm doing at that time. But
noted.
I live to serve, and it would be my greatest pleasure, emphasis on pleasure, to serve you while you are aboard the Serenity. Emphasis on aboard the Serenity.
What if multiple people need you at the same time?
I shall split my body in twain, or in thrice, or however many splits that need to be done in order to satisfy the needs of the people aboard the Serenity. I live to serve you.
Dibs on the arm.
He looks at you. I'm sorry. I am Percival, the butler aboard the Serenity. I have inputted and intake some of your what seem to be companions aboard the ship. May I ask you, sir, for your ticket?
I will, Gap is going to present his crystal device that is that has the ticket downloaded.
Digital. Give me 1 second. I was not expecting this. However, they did send a memo out about this.
I look around at the group and I say, what? I'm not over.
Didn't Vajra give you the printed out ticket?
You're a boomer.
Somehow Gak converted it to a digital ticket.
Yeah, I took a photo with my crystal device and uploaded it to my digital wallet. You can do that.
May I touch your device?
Like, look at me. Where am I going to keep anything other than my own crystal device, which I keep pocketed right in here?
There's just a little pocket in the front of the loincloth.
Boxes.
You know how some people have like cases for their phone or their belt loop? For me, it's just like this little case and this little holder right where we're.
And you are wearing the golden underwear, right?
It is the only thing I do wear.
Okay,
thank you. May I hold your digital ticket?
Yeah, sure. And I'm like crystal device.
Okay, he touches the screen with his fingers and his eyes roll back in his head. And he's like,
touching my nuts.
Like his eyes roll back.
This ticket is legitimate. You may board. And remember, if you call my name thrice, I shall appear on the ship. Also, this is the perfect time to mention our dress code policy. You, sir, are in perfect alignment with you are obviously in formal attire. And he looks around at the rest of you. He says, formal attire is encouraged at all times aboard the ship. You could, and again, please forgive me for speaking out of place, but we are not aboard the ship, so I'm not currently bound by the rules of congeniality. You all could learn a bit of formality from your goblin friend here. It would serve you well aboard the Serenity. You!
And he points over at Thatch.
I assume that you are also a companion.
You there! I am a cavalier in the service of Candlekeep Library, the great Candlekeep Library, and I am here on my mount, which is my duty-bound uniform to wear. I'm like, show my shields off, and I say, of course, I have my ticket and my homunculus, which is made of my crystal. My crystal was the crystal that I used to make it. It shows the digital, but then realizing, like, the weirdness with his whole, like, fascination with grabbing the digital, like, I just have my homunculus spit out a ticket. Just, like punch down and just, like, crap out a printed version, dot matrix style. Yeah, like an Epson printer.
Yes, sir, thank you for providing your ticket. Do you have your emotional support paperwork for your animal companion?
They are devices, not animals, and they're considered tools of the job.
Apologies.
Yeah, you are mistaken. This is a thing, not a creature. I suggest you attend more science classes, if you will.
I shall look into that, sir. Apologies for my scientific knowledge baseline not being up to snuff in order to recognize what your tools actually were. That does bring up another point. this is a luxury, a high-end, first-class cruise, and unfortunately, I don't. We will have to put your tools or working-class things into the cargo hold for the duration of the ship.
I must insist that you stand aside. I have means of storage of my steed and my assistant here, but they are neither creatures. They are things. They are clearly made of stuff.
While he's having this argument, in sincerity, just real quick, forge medical paperwork, just saying that like this is his wheelchair and.
Give me a sleight of hand.
I'll assist.
He says Cavalier Doofy. It's like a little badge.
I got a 34 on my sleight of hand.
Nice.
Did you roll? Okay, you did roll with advantage. You and Titanius like turn around and you forge something real quick.
Well, Flash of Genius. I'm going to put Flash of Genius on that to see how high we can get it.
Okay, that's plus five.
Roll a
D6.
It's plus five. Sorry.
I thought five. Flash of Genius
static.
Was static.
Yeah. I forgot. I'm not used to doing it. I was thinking of a different thing. My bad. So it adds five to it, which for, what is that, 39?
Yeah, 39.
Yeah, 39. Nice. Beautiful. Titanius, you whip out some like letterhead from the Waterdeep like labor union or like Waterdeep disabled representatives guild like letterhead that you just happen to have, and you cook up this absolutely flawless excuse for why Thatch needs to have his cart, and it's his wheelchair. But you have this thing in your hands while, and he's like,
I understand, sir. It is a thing, but
I'm sorry. He's a little embarrassed here. I think you need to read this.
Oh yes, sir. Sincerity.
He takes it from you. He goes pale white.
He says, "I am so sorry. I did not realize that you called them. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that this was."
It's about time you recognize my prestige and my position and the fact that I am a cavalier and I am in an upstanding
and
needs such
this mobility aid.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Please, here, accept this 100 gold credit to the casino aboard the ship, and I'm so sorry. I am here to serve you, and it literally causes me damage aboard the ship if I have displeased you in any way, and I'm so sorry that we have gotten off to this wrong foot. You, sir, I see you.
I am off to the wrong foot every day.
Yeah. Oh, he goes even paler. I didn't mean to. I just put my foot.
I wink and then give him like a little. Oh, just loosen up there. You're all stiff.
Just thank
what
you, sir.
Need is a stiff drink.
Yes. Absolutely. Aboard the ship, we will be having a complimentary cocktail hour, and it's of course it's everything aboard the ship is complimentary, as is prepaid in your ticket. Please join us aboard the ship, and I shall continue intaking the rest of your companions. You,
and Titanius, this very scrawny metal man, or not metal man, very scrawny elderly human, walks up to you, and he's wearing a butler's, black and white butler's tuxedo, and he says,
"I am Percival, the butler aboard the Serenity, and I am tasked and charged by our good captain, Reginald Stormrider, to assist with the intake of our patrons aboard our ship in a fastidious and timely manner. May I please have your ticket?"
I print one out between my teeth and then hand it to him.
"Ah, yes. Thank you, sir. I shall review your ticket for the purposes of checking for the authenticity of it." This ticket is legitimate. You may proceed. Is there any questions? Oh, also, I have forgotten to mention, with all of the previous intakes, there will be no weapons aboard this ship. I shall be the only weapon you will need in terms of safety. Should you find yourself in peril and have need of a weapon, simply call my name thrice, and I shall defend you with my life and my
weapons. My weapons are in my portable hole.
Okay. Actually, he does. Also, I'm so sorry. He turns back to you, Thatch.
You will need just to check in with the security officer, Thornfeet, to just make sure that there are no hidden weapons among your disability items. We have had some previous instances with smuggling of nefarious goods using disabilitied people.
This really seems like you're punishing him just for existing with his condition.
Again, it's not me. It's the people who abused it prior to him. Anyway.
He turns back to you, Titanius.
Your ticket is legitimate, and I thank you for coming aboard the Serenity. It will be my pleasure to serve you.
He then turns to Smee and the unicorns, who are passed out, or who Smee is passed out drunk on top of the unicorn, and the kids are kind of running around the legs, and Percival looks at Smee and he goes,
"My name is Percival, and I am the butler of the Serenity. You seem to be intoxicated and quite unconscious."
He kind of looks around at the rest of you.
"Is this a traveling member of your party, or has a wayward drunk followed the scent of riches this way? They do that sometimes, and we just have to give them a nice shoe."
No, she's with us. She only drinks expensive wine. Alcohols.
"I thought I smelled cheap bourbon on her clothes, but that is obviously my mistake. I'm sorry, sir."
She starts with the expensive stuff. That way she can drink the cheap stuff later when it doesn't matter what it tastes like.
See? Does this one have a ticket?
Yeah. Hold on. I assume sincerity to pictures of everybody's ticket.
Yep. You kind of like, you swipe through your crystal phone. Like, nope, that was mine. That was Titanius. Oh, this one's been claimed. You eventually show Smee's ticket. He says,
"We have a rather fantastic alcohol recovery chamber. I would suggest that you drop your friend there in order to speed her recovery from her current state to something a little more conscious. It is top of the line and designed by myself after extensive years of first-hand research of getting blackout drunk and then trying to figure out the best way to quell the hangover demons the next day. And may I say, chef's kiss. So we will, I promise, as soon as we are aboarded, have a tour of the ship by yours truly, at which point we can deposit your friend in the drunk tank. Now, I believe, looks like there are 3 children tickets associated with this one. Can you please identify the children that will be accompanying you on this voyage?"
Sincerity will point out our kids, and then, like, specific, and those are the Castellanter children.
"Ah, yes.
Don't blame them for their...
I take no judgment upon anyone aboard this ship other than myself for the varying degrees of being able to pleasure our patrons aboard the ship. Rest assured, I judge myself very harshly, and all of your pleasure priority is my priority pleasure. Now, I believe we have completed the pre-intake onto the ship. I shall take all of your bags and direct you to your personal cabins prior to the ship's captain, Reginald Stormrider, and security officer Thornfield giving a quick discussion.
I'm sorry,
young green, that your green friend is trying to say something? Does he just shout things out randomly?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, we will brush past that. Again, I extend the invitation to you all. If there is a moment aboard the Serenity where you would like to show me yours, I would like to show you mine.
We've already exchanged tickets and credentials, though.
Yes. Yeah. Welcome aboard the Serenity.
And he gestures aboard the ship. And as he does so, all of your bags and luggage start to lift up and just kind of move onto the ship, almost as if a large amount of unseen servants picked up your individual bags. Maybe a tensor's floating disc was in there for the stuff that was grouped together. And it starts floating into the ship. It says, rest assured, your baggage will make it to your room safe and unmolested. We got rid of the employee who was molesting the bags previously, so that's under wraps.
Are they taking the car right now?
That's actually our next thing that we were going to address. Your large luggage and flying equestrian companions will have their own places to stay. The more mechanical of your party will be locked in the cargo bay. And when I say locked, you will have your own storage unit that will fit all of your things within the cargo bay that you may visit at any time during the trip. But just know,
if I leave my simulacrum with the car?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, most of our patrons aboard this ship have left their simulacrums or their servants with their various belongings in the cargo holding cell. Now, I hope you do not mind, but the cargo holding cell is not air conditioned, nor is it heated, nor is it insulated, or quite frankly, waterproof or water resistant in any way. It's very dark and wet, but most of the time it's just the working class that's down there, so it doesn't get paid too much attention to. Should you have need to visit your things in the cargo cell, simply call my name 3 times, and I shall come and escort you down there to your belongings. But yes, we have an area for large-scale things. If you just have your valetmen follow the invisible servant, they will direct them to the cargo holding bay.
Sincerity will go have his simulacrum valetmen take the car over, and he's also going to instruct him to wear the helm of telepathy and try and eavesdrop on the surface thoughts of the working class in the cargo hold.
Okay. Sounds good. The first thought you hear from Insincerity is their confusion in being able to follow an invisible servant, like they were told to do.
That's right. That's right. Why don't you throw some flour on it, and then he won't be an unseen servant.
It's quiet for a second, and then you get a thought back like it was successful, and then and then the cart starts moving, gives a thumbs up emoji.
Okay, well, now we shall have completed your intake, and I shall show each of you to your individual rooms. If you would please follow me this way.
And he starts walking into the ship.
So did they take did they take our weapons then?
Not yet. No. But it was mentioned that weapons were not allowed.
We're getting on the ship now.
Can I store my weapons where I would normally store it? It's in my bag of holding, which is also in my little secret compartment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm throwing mine in my portable hole.
Okay.
With the exception of my hacky sack.
Nice.
Okay. Sincerity and loyalty are like immediately upon setting foot on the ship, going to like in unison say Percival, Percival, Percival.
Two Percivals appear, one in front of each of you, and they say,
"Yes, I'm here to serve you." And there's another Percival that keeps walking, and he looks, I was already here, and he concentrates and he absorbs back into one Percival. He says, "It's fun. It's fun. I get it. So just, you know, it's hard for me as Percival to be in multiple places at multiple times. But again, it's not hard. It's not taxing. I love to do it. It's hard to be multiple people saying multiple things at multiple times at different times, but also the same. You know, you can do it, but let's not push it, gang. Okay, sirs and madams.
You didn't ask me what I wanted.
God. And you can see like a cut on his cheek. He says, shit, I didn't, madam. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You did call my name thrice, and I am bound to serve and get your needs. And you, sir, he splits into two. What are your needs?
This is an outrage.
Please. Another cut appears. What can I do to make this up? If I cannot serve, I cannot live. And he starts like bleeding out. He says, I need to serve. And he starts, tell me what to do.
I need a snack.
He breaks off a bit of his... You shall feast on my skin. It tastes of peppermint. Please.
I need to bring my golf score down by a point.
Please feast on... You, sir, didn't save my name thrice, but all you need to do is choke up on the clutch, and you, madam, feast of my flesh. It shall taste of pie, the sweetest pie that you ever tasted. Please.
That's not going to be the only meal on the cruise, is it?
No, there's so much food everywhere, and it's all you can eat. Please, madam. And he starts to, like, you can see the one that you've asked for food. He starts to, like, heat up a little bit. Please, eat of my flesh. It shall taste delicious and nourish you.
I'll take a piece, but I'm not going to eat it, and I'll thank him.
Okay. You don't eat it?
He says, I can, not while he's looking.
I can tell that you haven't put me in your mouth. Please.
I, like, mimic taking a bite of it. It's very good.
I know you're lying.
Does he keep crumbling?
He does. Please enjoy of my flesh. If I cannot serve you, I cannot live.
I shove the whole piece into my mouth, but I don't chew.
You must.
Okay, I'll chew.
Chew me. Swallow.
Wait, does it taste like pie?
It does. Yeah, like, what's your favorite type of pie?
Blackberry.
Tastes like blackberry.
I eat it.
Okay, that version of Percival, as you eat it, he says,
oh, incomplete.
And he fades away to dust. And the original Percival is still standing there, and he says, see, it gets weird. It gets weird, gang.
All I wanted to do was see you pop into places at once, so you've already done that for me. You don't need to do it again.
Percival.
Yes! What can I help you with, young goblin?
Yeah, I need this dry clean press, and I take off my banana.
Absolutely, sir. One second, I need to get you a spare change of clothes so you won't...
I'll be fine.
You, sir, are out of dress code. You need to be in formal attire.
I grab a lettuce leaf, and I use that as a...
Tell me that it's formal attire, so I can die happy.
It's formal attire.
As that one crumbles away into dust, and then it reforms. It's like, sorry, I needed to do the dry clean.
And it grabs your banana hammock. We have a dry cleaner on the ship. I will be right back. This is the greatest task of my life.
And he sprints away. And like you can see that version of Percival is like just beaming ear to ear. And he says, and then the Percival Primus says, so that's the kind of stuff that you should ask for. Like, I can...
And it just brings me joy to take care of it. And if you ask me to do something that I cannot do, it gives me great pain.
Anyway, how are you all hiding your weapons? Because this is a no-weapon ship.
So, Sincerity has studded leather armor of glamour. He always is either walking around in, like, his performer's getup or fine clothes. But I guess he can turn it up to, like, you know, super fine clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Can he keep his bard instrument that is his spellcasting?
Yeah, that's an instrument. I don't think they would classify. Like, you could bring a guitar on a cruise ship.
He'll hand over his infernal dagger. He'll play by the rules and give up his side weapon.
Yes, thank you. These will be returned to you upon disembarking at the Moonshay Isles. I'm so sorry. I talked over you. What did you say, sir?
Oh, I just wanted a receipt, a ticket.
Yes, absolutely. Here is your claim stub. It is also tied to your name, your room number, and your DNA sequence.
That's very thorough.
Yes, we take security and safety aboard the Serenity very highly.
Did we need to disarm my simulacrum as well?
He shall be locked in the cargo hold with the rest of the weapon retainers.
He'll need his knife for the work class. Okay.
Yes, yes. I did not want to put it so crassly, but yes. So,
okay. So, anybody who wants to store their weapons, you've been told by Percival that you will be, you only won't have access to your weapons during the duration of the cruise. When you disembark on the Moonshay Isles as a part of your cruise, you will be given your weapons when you're back on the island. It's when you're on the ship itself. They really don't want you to have weapons. Think of it as like, these guys are like TSA and they wouldn't allow you to bring a knife. So
I'm throwing them all in my portable hole.
That was my question. How are you trying to sneak past this government agency?
I'm just going to throw my weapons in the portable hole and then I'm going to break my pistol down into four pieces and store them each individually in different parts of my person. So they're not technically considered a weapon and it's not magical. Or would it be magical when it's broken apart? Would it set off magic or not? I did add the magic effect to it.
The reload.
I think it does make it. Yeah, the reloading thing. But if I break it down into individual parts, is it still?
No, I think it would. I would think it would lose its magical function once you break it apart.
Okay, and I can just add that whenever. But yeah. When it's broken down into pieces, it's not. It's, okay, cool, excellent. Yeah, we'll break it down into pieces. Store each piece on my person.
Okay. All right. How any other sneakers? So portable hole is basically what I heard from Thatch, putting everything in there or all your paraphernalia, I guess.
I can't think of a way to hide mine, so I'll check my weapons.
Okay, and armor.
Okay.
Remember, this is fine clothing required, formal attire required at all times.
I feel like a hamster would look really, really weird in formal attire.
Madam, may I suggest the fine waxing services that we offer aboard the Serenity?
No, I like my fur.
All right, well, may I offer you some of our pet grooming services as well?
That I'm into.
Ah, yes.
Outrageous.
What is outrageous?
The discrimination.
I'm sorry, sir. How have we discriminated? We've provided both options for both of her needs.
First, you discriminate against the handicapped, and now a person's appearance. It's outrageous.
Okay, absolutely, sir. And please forgive me for my unforgivable faux pas earlier with the disabled. That is not me, and I am a better person than that. Just please know that I was coming from a place of security is key. Security and the safety of our patrons aboard the Serenity is our top priority. Well,
okay. All right. All right. Who are the other sneakers who are hiding stuff?
We said we've searched your drunk friend and taken the liberty of getting her weapons off of her for safety for a number of reasons. So, they will be returned to her upon her disembarking as well.
So Satch is hiding, Loyalty's giving it up. Sincerity, you gave up a dagger. Do you really have any other weapons, though? You're mostly magic.
Yeah, I have a rapier on my character, but I think I gave that my simulacrum a while back.
So okay, I just need to know if your character has weapons other than what you're giving up.
I'll give up my wand of magic.
Okay. Okay, so you basically just have your instrument is what you kept.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Thatch, you got your disability waiver. You're putting your stuff in your portable hole. Is there anything else that you're doing?
Yes. Except for my pistol, right? Like
which is broken down into multiple parts.
Yeah, which is broken down into multiple parts. My two shields are the wheels of my mobility device. They're like sitting on the side
there. They're little hubcaps. Yeah.
Like wheels. Yeah. You know, got a style. Yep.
All right. And then that's, Titanius. You said you were hiding stuff in your secret little bag of holding pocket.
Yep. Just my, normal stuff and then the staff of power and my rapier from Toxie.
All right.
that's all I'm putting there. But my hacky sack, which is plus two, I am keeping on my person.
Yeah, that's a recreational thing. I think you could get by. I will also allow you to bring your plus two frisbee.
Well, the hacky sack is a plus two dagger. So
what? And the plus two frisbee isn't a saw blade?
I don't think I have one of those.
Well, you don't now. You had a chance. You didn't pack it when I gave it, when I tried to give it to you. The DM was like, wait, here's your frisbee. And you're like, nah, I got this hacky sack.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Percival is like, I would like to thank you all for being so forthcoming with the weaponry that you have brought aboard the ship and allowing us to take care of your safety needs. Remember, should you have need for any weapon, simply say my name thrice. And that name again is Percival.
You all step aboard the ship. As soon as you step aboard the ship, you feel all disconnection from magic. You feel no weave. You feel no, no magic whatsoever aboard this ship. You feel your magic items like power down. And you all would probably are seasoned adventurers enough to recognize that you have entered into an anti-magic field.
So my glamored armor stops working as well?
Yep, it just turns to regular fine clothes.
But any items we have on?
It would just turn into like regular studded leather armor as well.
That's fine. Yes, you all magic, just boom. You look at your phones, no service.
I have paperwork for my steel defender and my homunculus, and I produce it. So, that works, right?
So your homunculus is a thing. Like, you've given
it's,
it
yeah,
sentient.
It's a construct. It's like steampunk is how I picture it.
My steel
defender is also a machine. Like,
yeah, I think those would work within the anti-magic field.
Okay, cool. And my gun is still a gun.
It's a gun, yeah.
So is my repeating thing... It is a thing that makes it magic. It's plus it makes it a magic weapon.
I don't think
it would get the repeater.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes. You may have noticed, as some of our wealthy clients are wont to do, that your magic items may not work as well as they do aboard off of the ship. This is again for the safety and security of our passengers. The only people allowed to do magics aboard this ship are myself and the ship's wizard, Elias Thornberry. But those are magic purely related to navigation of the seas and transportation and movement of the ship across it. And my magics are purely related to the pleasuring of our patrons aboard our ship. Hence, the ability to say my name thrice, and I shall pleasure you to Cletian. Anyway, enough about talking about pleasing you. Here are your rooms.
And he walks you down a hallway of the ship. And I actually haven't described the ship too much. It is not a fantasy sailing ship. It is more like a modern day carnival cruise liner with big old windows and big white broad sides and railings and like pools and shuffleboards and like slides, and it's a carnival cruise ship. So you are all shown to your various different rooms. You all have your own rooms unless you ask room with someone else. You've been given your own room, your own bathroom. It's fully stocked with sample shampoos and conditioners. And while you're all being shown your various different rooms, Percival says, now remember, everything aboard the Serenity is compensated for within your ticket price. That includes all luxuries such as food and alcohol and shows and ice cream and not gambling. You do have to use your own money to gamble.
Is there a like unsecure area where our magic items work, where I can get into my bag of holding? For like, does my stuff work in my room? Can I get my money, or do I need to step off the ship real quick to get a little spending cash out?
If you keep your money in a magical repository whilst you are on board the ship, simply call my name 3 times and I can assist with your draw, acting as a sort of magical bank teller to allow you to access your funds while aboard the Serenity.
Okay.
Yes. And
well,
as
Percival, I'd like to, you know, pull out just 1,000 gold carrion money.
Absolutely, sir. How have you? You did not need to summon me. I'm still standing right here in front of you. Yes, I can help you out with that. Please hand me your magical repository, and I shall withdraw the 1,000 gold as per your request.
Let's do 100 platinum pieces, just because I'm going to have to be carrying this around.
Absolutely, sir. You are a genius.
Sincerity will hand over his bag of holding real quick.
Okay. And, sir, I will do this fully above board in front of you. And he holds it at an arm's length so you can see that he's not really, like, getting close to it. And I shall narrate what I am doing while I am doing it. I am putting my hands into the bag of holding, specifically holding the bag of holding with my left hand, inserting my right hand. And I am requesting the bag of holding to withdraw 1,000 gold, which I shall do thusly.
100 platinum, sorry.
Oh, sorry. You see another scratch appear on his face.
I'm sorry, sir, please.
No. It's I enjoyed having to wreck.
And you see the scar, like the scratch heals.
Thank you, sir. I shall endeavor to make it so that you can correct me more and thus pleasure yourself more. Now, I shall request the bag of holding, withdraw 100 platinum pieces, and I shall do it thusly. Dearest bag of holding, I, Percival, Rockvellian Orthoval, Sivan, am requesting 100 platinum gold from your sack.
And you see, like, a little sack pops out, and he catches it, and he's still holding both things at arm's length, and he says, "Here are your items, sir."
And he'll take them.
Takes them back. And you feel the magic of the bag of holding start to fade as soon as it leaves Percival's hand.
Ooh. Yes. And as I was saying, everything aboard this ship is compensated for, and you should not need to use your money other for the casino, with the exception of the mini bars that are found in each of your rooms. That is not included in the price, and even though you may go down to one of our many, many liquor establishmentiatory serving establishments for free, the mini bar still costs an extraordinary amount of money. I just wanted to be forthcoming.
Thank you for that.
Titanius. If we order drinks from you,
Titanius.
Are they complimentary?
Absolutely. But if you ask me to get you a drink from the mini bar, it will come with an additional cost.
Where are you getting your drink?
If you were to just ask me for a drink, I would go down and talk to our bartender, Kyle, and he would probably make up whatever you requested.
I'm sure Titanius and Smee hid extra booze in their luggage, or, you know, shampoo bottles, etc.
Sincerity has a magnificent mansion with an unlimited supply of booze.
It's magical.
It's not the same.
I just want to make sure that the emergency brake on my mobility device is still intact, i.e. the immovable rod that is the handle of my shield.
The immovable rod is not functioning.
Oh, that's part of my, I need that function. It's part of my chair. Like, look, I have a, and I hold up the, I have, my paperwork is right here. I don't have a brake. Do you want to be rolling off the side of the ship?
No,
responsible for such an event?
No, sir, I'm so sorry. I did not realize that the braking component of your wheelchair was magical.
You could have killed me.
We could have killed you. I am sorry, sir. Please accept another voucher for the casino.
Outrageous.
Due to my error. But I'm sorry. We cannot allow the magical breaking system, but we do have an alternative.
And Percival goes,
Percival, Percival, Percival.
And he splits in two in front of himself. And you hear him,
Percival, I need you to follow this lovely person around the entire time and he is here and be his breaks.
No, no, no.
It would be my pleasure, Percival.
You're embarrassing me. You are embarrassing me. You're making me look like a fool.
Percy,
the friends.
You can call me Pushing Percy, and my goal in life is to push and break for you.
Be gone.
If you do not allow him to do that, we will be sued, and he will get increasingly more aggressive about it. It's just, I mean, you saw what the other Percival did when Loyalty wouldn't partake of his eat part of him. He tried to cook himself in front of her.
You get nothing. You're trying to give me something I did not ask for. I want my break to function. I don't need some weirdo lurking behind me like some stalking butler.
I'm not a weirdo. I just want to push and pull and stop you wherever you want to go.
I dismiss him.
I was born to be your break.
You're dismissed.
Unfortunately, he does not work like that. He doesn't work like that. He is your brakes
now.
You
tell him to disappear.
I'll throw myself in front of your wheels to stop you, please.
Throw yourself in the ocean for all I care. Leave me alone.
Say his name three times again and make him fight to the death.
I will summon Percival, Percival, Percival.
As if Percival breaks into another bit.
You there, beat up this Percival, this pushy Percival.
I shall pummel him to smithereens. And he's like, I just want a break for you.
And that one he just starts wailing on. Okay, Gak. Another Percival shows up.
Stop that Percival from beating up that Percival.
Oh, absolutely, sir. You shall not put hands on me.
And he goes and he's trying to restrain. And the biggest smiles on two out of three of the Percivals. The two Percivals that are able to, like, the one that's able to beat up the one is achieving its goal, and it's so happy. The other one is trying to stop that one from beating it up, and it's fighting to stop, so in the struggle of trying to stop them, it's happy. The only Percival that's not happy is the Percival that can't break for Thatch, and maybe Percival Prime.
He says, I'm not sure this is what I am intended for, but as long as you are all happy...
I'm outraged, but I could be placated with one of those casino vouchers.
Yes, absolutely. Can you quit with the claiming I'm a racism? I'm not a racism.
Discrimination, again.
Maybe a little ableist.
That is fair. Little ableist for sure. But yes, you know, how about all around? Here's 100 gold voucher for all of you for the casino.
Ooh, excellent, excellent. That's 300 I've gotten so far. What a show.
I'm change.
Well, now that I've shown you to all of your rooms and you've had a chance to unpack, the ship's captain, Reginald Stormrider, and first security officer, Robert Thornfield, are having a welcome to the ship meeting about an hour or so. All attendance is mandatory, and should you not come, you shall be refused passage on the ship. Okay. Is that understood?
I think we all understand.
Very good. I shall take my leave, but again, should you need, you know how to make me.
Now, we haven't signed anything, so I think what we need to do is roll Thatch off the deck of this ship so we can own it.
Call up your personal attorney.
That's right. We got to get him back out of hell.
Exactly. We'll have all of that, all the money.
All right, so there's about an hour of, or like 30 minutes of downtime to kind of get your stuff together. Is there anything that you all would like to do in your personal cabins before the deck meeting?
Sincerity is gonna go to the mini bar, and he's gonna like pick something up and look at it, and then he's gonna put it back down after like 10 seconds.
When you pick it up, there's a magic mouth spell that goes off, and it says, "Your room has been charged 15,000 gold."
Then he puts it back.
Charge canceled.
Guys, I have an idea. Why don't we raid the Castellaners?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was just thinking the same thing.
So Gak and Sincerity in their own personal rooms, like, pick it up and then, like, run out into the hallway and, like, look down at each other.
It's perfect crime.
Yes, now, if we do that enough times, we might just drain them of all of their wealth.
They'll have to sell another child.
Then they'll come begging to us. Percival.
Yes, sir. You have called me to your private room alone. How may I pleasure you?
Yes, I need a bit of information. What room are the Castellaners staying?
Absolutely, sir. It would be my pleasure to rat on the other patrons of the ship. Unfortunately, I cannot due to protocol, but just know it would give me the greatest pleasure to spill everything I knew about everyone on the ship, but alas, I cannot.
What if you were to pantomime? You can't tell me.
Alternatively, we all have to go
wave your arms in a pattern that we might be able to perceive what room they're in.
Yeah, like, you know, you're not necessarily pointing because of the question that we just asked.
You know what? How about you just go for a walk and we follow you? And if you just happen to walk by their room and nod in that direction.
You could even say, you know, like, I'm not allowed to tell you that is the Castellaner's door.
Oh, that is trickery and I love it. Tell you what, I shall play this game of shadows and smoke. We have a ship tour that we shall conduct later, and at a certain point, I may have a coughing fit, like so. It shall be ravenous and uncontrollable. That coughing fit may or may not indicate that we are nearby the room of which you previously inquired about. But I cannot confirm if that is or is not why I will be coughing.
And I wink at it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your assistance, person. You did good. And then when he leaves, Sincerity is going to say, also, when we have the all-hands meeting that everyone is mandated to attend to, we can follow them back to their rooms at that point as well.
That is also a mischievous plan.
I waited until after he left to say
that. Oh, sorry. I was still listening, but I promise I shall forget.
You're a good supernatural entity, person.
I am actually a genie that has been cursed to serve aboard the Serenity for an eternity.
You know, is Percival okay? He sounded kind of sick. I hope Percival is, you know, not sick. What do you think's up with Percival?
Yeah, it sounded like he had like a little cough or something. I don't know, it was the weirdest cough that I've ever heard. Like the kids pipe up. That dude's kind of weird. He's like real pasty and like he's got those like liver spots all over his face. Like how? He's got to be like 40 or something. Anything else while you were all in the privacy of your cabins?
His arm resembled a brown schwager.
I'll search my room for anything that seems out of place.
Give me an investigation. And Thatch, what did you say?
His arm resembled a brown schwager. You ever seen like the liver spots on the outside of a brown schwager? Like, never mind. That's it's disgusting.
Yes.
It's got a rind. It's got like a rind on the outside. It's like I think it's made of like flesh. I don't know. But then it's got like it's like this liver stuff in the middle. But yeah, it looks like liver spot.
I think he pickled himself. Like he's just like it's just so pickly, the wrinkly skin.
He smelled of brine, booze.
Yeah, he smelled like vinegar. Okay, Titanius, with that 14 investigation, you don't find anything out of place. You do find a door that when you open it, you just see the backside of another door.
Is it in the direction of one of my party's rooms?
Yeah, it looks like it might connect to one of your adjacent party members.
I knock on the door.
Who wants to be in the room next to Titanius? Or who wants to have gotten the room next to Titanius?
That metal man intrigues me.
Thatch, you hear a knock on your door from the inside of your not your main door, not your main cabin door, like a side door you hadn't really opened before.
It's locked.
You know, like Patrick Stewart. I unlock it.
Yep. Looks like you guys have a connecting room. Titanius, you're standing.
Did you
get
a fruit basket?
I did get a fruit basket.
Take an inspiration for that one, Thatch.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. But yeah, anything else you all doing before you get?
They didn't say we'd get charged for the soap and the shampoo and the conditioner. I'm taking it all.
Yeah, only the minibar and the casino are not included. About 30 minutes later, you hear an announcement over the intercom.
Will all patrons of the Serenity please make your way to the main deck for an announcement from Captain Stormrider. All patrons, please head to the main deck for an announcement from Captain Stormrider.
I head that way.
Yep. Head that way as well.
You all start heading to the main deck. You see a bunch of other, you know, wealthy, upper class, well-to-do people. And as you're all kind of walking up to the main deck area, you can kind of see them gathering. Looks like there's a little podium. And there's like a guy with a captain's hat and like, you know, typical sailor. Like a captain's uniform or first mate hat or something to recognize them as like the ship's crewman. Everybody make me a perception check and let me know what y'all get.
31.
8. 16.
2.
Perfect. Gak, what'd you get?
One, because I'm number one.
Non-natural one.
Yep. Yes, you are, Gak. You are number one. But sincerity, loyalty, and Gak, you probably don't really notice this. It's just a big crowd of people. You maybe spot the Castellanters and their kids kind of just hanging off to the side waiting for the announcements. Thatch, you see a rather large mustachioed rotund man with a large hat and feather in said hat approaching the twins with rapid speed, and you wouldn't recognize him at all. But Titanius, you see the same thing happening, but you recognize this man, this large rotund bellied man claps his meaty hands on the back of Loyalty and Sincerity, said,
"Well, I thought I wouldn't see you guys again until, hell froze over."
And you look back and it's Mert, the moneylender, your old Harper contact from back in Waterdeep. He said,
and by hell, I mean, Waterdeep. How are you guys doing? I didn't think I'd be seeing anybody I knew on this trip, except for the, many, many wealthy aristocrats that do owe me money. But how are you guys doing?
Ready to relax.
Doing great.
Oh my god.
Vajra got us tickets as a like a bonus for a job well done.
Oh man, Vajra is just fantastic. You should see the fight that she's putting up in Waterdeep. There is devil bodies about a mile thick from Blackstaff Tower in every direction. The city's a real hellhole. The economy has gone to shit. So obviously I've purchased a ton of property in the city, and I'm gonna wait until the economy's back and just make a huge profit off of it. But for now, I'm feeling that relaxing lifestyle later. Hey, maybe Loyalty, maybe later you and me can get together and go to the spa, get a little mani and a pedi, and maybe like a footy and a massage-y, and just like have a pamper ourselves, like a treat yourself kind of day. I'm in it to relax, and that everybody else, that open invitation. You guys want to go have a schwitz? Go down to the Schwet Lodge, put some cucumbers on your eyes. The whole nine yards. I'm, Mert I like to pamper myself.
I too like to pamper myself.
Well, yeah, well, hit me up later, girl. We'll hit up the spa.
What room are you staying in?
Oh, 420.
Noted.
Of course.
What room are you in?
I was going to say 420, but you stole it.
Yeah, I think you guys are all, it's actually, you're on the four, like, you're on 420 block, so all the rooms are room 420.
It's actually the smoking corridor,
but it's 420A, 420B, 420C, you know, I'm 420D.
I think I'm 420L.
Well, I will keep a note of that. Yeah, knock on my door whenever. Man, that's gonna be, I thought I was just gonna have to, you know, hang out with all these gross rich people. You know, they got no interesting stories. It's like, oh, I bought this property up in the, you know, up in the northern teeth of Waterdeep, and like, yada, yada, yada. And like, after a while, it's just money, 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 money. I want to hear about
like,
what
describe your neighborhood as like being dangerous, but it's just a normal neighborhood.
They all live behind security fence. Like, these people, quite frankly, do not know an ounce of hardship in their life. If adversity slapped them in the face, they wouldn't recognize it. But yeah, shit. Anyway, yeah, it's good to see y'all. We'll have to do a little bit of catching up later. As you can all see that the captain, or what you would guess to the captain, has kind of stepped up to the podium, and you see that Percival is right next to him. And Percival actually has like his finger in the shape of like finger guns. And he walks up to the captain and he puts his like finger gun to the captain's throat and he holds up his other hand. And it looks like he casts the thaumaturgy spell. And he's acting as a broadcast for the voice of the captain. And the captain starts speaking. All right. A man in a captain's uniform steps to the front, has Percival's fingers to his throat, and he begins to speak. He says, good evening, ladies and esteemed guests. Welcome aboard the Serenity. I am Captain Reginald Stormrider, and it's my distinct pleasure to be at the helm of this magnificent vessel as we embark on a journey of luxury and adventure. Can I get a round of applause? And like, there's a little bit of... Now, before we set sail, I want to assure each and every one of you that the Serenity is not just a ship. It's a symbol of safety. We've spared no effort in ensuring that this vessel is not only unsinkable. Let me emphasize that. Not only is this ship unsinkable, but it's also equipped with the latest enchantments and protections known to maritime magic. We have some R&D department on the absolute forefront of magical maritime magic. The hull of the Serenity is fortified with powerful wards, making it impervious to the thrashings of the Lady Sea. Our navigational enchantments are second to none, ensuring a smooth and delightful journey across the waves for all of you. You won't even feel it, I promise. Every inch of this ship has been inspected and approved by the most skilled artisans and wizards of the realm, guaranteeing the unsinkable and luxurious nature of the ship. Rest assured, dear passengers, safety checks, rigorous and mundane and magical, make the certainty that Serenity will never go down. I can't say it again. This ship is unsinkable. So much so that we have no lifeboat in case that it were to go down. And we've also foregone any need for external communication to the outside world. Everything that we need is aboard this ship. So, as we sail through the moonlit waters, underneath the twinkling canvas of stars, let the worries of the world be swept away by the gentle caress of the ocean breeze. On the Serenity, we don't want to meet expectations, we want to exceed them. So, my friends, may the seas be kind, the skies clear, and welcome aboard the Serenity. Now, I would like to introduce First Officer Robert Thornfield for a few security measures.
And this, where the captain... Reginald Stormrider is kind of like a more skinny, scrawny man. Security Officer Robert Thornfield is a big luxury meaty man. And one second, he's gonna go over the ship's rules. I have those written down so I didn't forget them.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Robert Thornfield, your ship's security officer. First and foremost, like the captain said, safety is our top priority aboard the Serenity. In order to do that, we aim to provide an environment where you can relax and enjoy your voyage without concerns. In order to maintain order and security, we do have a few rules that everyone, passengers and crew alike, must adhere to. Now, number one, there are parts of the ship that are off limits to all of those except for the crew. That is the crew quarters, the ship's kitchens, the place where the captain drives the ship. I'm so sorry, I've been drinking a little bit tonight and I've just kind of forgotten what that room was called. Rest assured, these areas where the passengers are not allowed are clearly marked.
The bridge sections,
the bridge, the helm, the engine room, the cargo hold, all of that, all of this.
The brig, medical bay.
Yes, thank you.
I'd like to think that my mobility thing is like up in the front, because they better be.
Yeah, because of the Disabilities Act. Yeah.
Okay, well, these areas are very clearly marked whether or not you can be there or not. Also, for your safety, our crew will carry identification cards at all times. Just a minor thing, but we use an ID verification system to get in and out of the control rooms as the crew, also to maintain identification. Now, we understand that many of you brought valuables on board. We recommend using the ship's secure vaults in the cargo hold for your storage. I believe Percival should have made you aware of all of the security measures in the need that you need to access your belongings. Now, also, please report any suspicious activity that you may see aboard the ship to the nearest crewman so that we can take care of things. That's just kind of goes around. We want to have fun, but we want to be safe. Likewise, there are no weapons allowed aboard the ship. Again, Percival, the ship's butler, should have informed you that if you should need a weapon, he shall act as any weapon that you shall need. You should just need to call him 3 times. Also, you may have noticed that your magical items that you brought with you are no longer in operation. That is because the ship operates under an anti-magic field. The only people aboard the ship that can use magic are very select members of the crew, that being Percival and the ship's storm caller or ship's wizard, Elias. Other than that, magic is thoroughly restricted once on the ship. Once you're off the ship in the Moonshay Isles, you shall be able to enjoy your magic items as you may please. If you do have any questions, please reach out to me, and I'm always happy to go over our security measures. If you have any issues, please reach out to me. Thank you. Percival takes his hands away and he says, yes, and that concludes our announcements for the evening. If you would all please make your way to the Red Room, or actually, please follow me to the Red Room so we can continue a tour of our ship before our dinner for the evening. Now, if we could all form into one group, yes, please. Not single file. A herd is just fine. We shall start in the Red Room. And is everybody going on the tour?
Yeah, I'm going.
I'm in.
Jack's going.
Okay. okay. The ship's tour.
Fetchwell's going.
Okay. The ship's tour begins. I think everybody, I believe, attends. Nobody said that they weren't. So as the sun begins to set, you all have not taken off just yet. But Percival begins his tour in the Red Room, which is a grand lounge, which is sprawling, adorned with plush furnishings, crystal chandelier, and, as you may guess, a large stage covered in red felt curtains. curtains and just like red, painted bright red everywhere. And you can see this is our red room, and this is where the shows of each evening will take place. We have a lounge singer during the day, and you can actually, as you walk in, there is a singer up on the stage, and they're just playing this, like, there's a piano that's like a player piano, like doing the smooth jazz in the back, and they're just, the singer is just like just giving like a smooth kind of jazz rendition. He says, you can come in here any day to see Marcus Valerius playing, and he's quite phenomenal. And of course, he is the opener for what is the main showcase. He has been the, I guess, Marcus, how many years have you been the opener? And he kind of stops. He doesn't even stop singing. He keeps singing his jazz, and he puts up 10 fingers and he goes 10 years into the tune of his song. So he's been the backup singer or the opening act for about 10 years. He's been the opening act for the Buxby brothers, who have taken residency on this leg of the ship's tour. So they don't play on this leg. We'll actually we'll go to the Moonshae Isles, and then they'll have a concert there, and then they'll have one concert on the way back to the ship. So you get two Buxby brothers concerts for the price of one ticket. And they will play in the Red Room, and they will be opened for by Marcus Valerius. And any questions about the Red Room? Okay, moving onwards. They move down the ship. Next is our Royal Casino. I bet you all cannot guess. I bet you can't guess what happens in here. It's a casino. There is high stakes gambling at any time of the day. You can play the house, you can play each other. Any and all ages welcome. This is family friendly gambling. Just as long as your children can pay their debts, they can play at the table. Nice. Okay, moving onwards. Again, we want to pleasure everyone aboard the ship, even the nerds. And this one's for you. Coming up on our library/game room, there's all these books and coloring sheets and these funny shaped rocks that you can roll around. And I guess I don't really understand it, but I guess depending on how well you roll on those rocks depends on how well you do better in those games. I don't get it, but all the nerds go in there and but they're all times of day. The ship's library is named the Aurelia. It's got vast amount of collections of mundane and magical literature. This is the one exception on the ship where you can use magic. Everyone who enters into the library gains the ability to cast the book Locate Charm, which is essentially a magical spell that will help you locate a book in various different ways. You can search it by author, by subject, by title, by the Dewey Decimal System, or you can put in what types of books that you are looking similarly to, and it will provide recommendations. Are there any questions about the Aurelia Library? Good. Moving on, we will go to the personal cabins deck. There you have been shown your rooms, and we will just walk past these. Oh, excuse me. I seem to have caught a coughing. Achoo. Oh, there's a sneeze in there. I have a fit. Oh, and he puts his hand to a door. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to just,
Sincerity's gonna lean down to Gag and say, that's
the... I'm sorry. Apology. Please forgive me. I am hypoallergenic. There must be some dander nearby. Okay. Well, next we will go to the observation deck, where it is a panoramic space at the ship's bow where you can observe breathtaking views of the sea and starlit skies. We also have a dining hall
where food is prepared in exquisite fashions, paid for by the chef's culinary experts. We actually, fun fact, use prestidigitation spells to flavor most of our food and adjust our lighting. Next, we have the magical... Next, we have a magical garden where you may come and grow plants. However, these plants are not normal plants. They like to be sung to or talked to. So depending on how well you sing or talk to them, they may give you stuff. They may give you gifts. They may give you secrets. They've never spoken to me because I cannot sing.
And he keeps walking.
Next is the security center, the brig, and the cargo hold, all overseen by Security Officer Thornfield. If you have any questions about that, please bring it up with him. And finally, we come to the captain's quarters. They're off limits, but this is where they are. Are there any questions about the ship?
Yes, I have a question. What kind of security devices can we have, will we find in our room?
Your rooms are equipped with magical locking mechanisms on your door, which prevent scrying of any kind from in your rooms. You may also whisper my name thrice, and I shall stand at your door if you should so. Anyway, with that, I shall take you to the dining hall where we have prepared the evening's meal.
And you all head off to the dining hall. As you start heading that way, you hear a as the ship starts to lurch underneath your feet, and you can feel that the Serenity has set sail. And with that, we will end off for tonight on Herding Dragons.
I love the cruise ship.
Oh yeah,
good. I've been
ships
I've
ahoy
been, ships ahoy. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I've been noodling around with this one for a little bit, so hope you guys enjoy the cruise ship activities, a little bit of vacation away from the grind and search, and
a little shuffleboard, you know.
Yeah, a little shuffleboard, a little Mai Tais, a little, you know, what are they called,
Pina Isaac Coladas. Will make us some Bahama Mamas.
Yeah, just kick back and relax. So next week we'll not have a session, but we'll pick up the week afterwards.
Okay.
Alright, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Michi.
Alright, bye everybody.
Bye.